Welcome to the Rooney Report. Today we have with us Marianne Kaharsky, founder and director of Pro-Life Across America. Marianne, thanks for being with us.
I'm honored to be here.
So Marianne, I think you and your husband John and the work you've done with this Pro-Life Billboard ministry, you've probably reached more people than most any other ministry, right?
Well, it's all the Holy Spirit. In fact, when people say, how did this happen? I always say it's God's sense of humor. It's a joke to take a housewife who knows nothing about marketing or advertising and doing mass marketing billboards and radio ads, and now we're doing web ads, and now we're just starting to do something brand new. In fact, last year was our big hit when we actually were in Times Square, New York,
right,
for 5 months.
Saw
so.
That.
It's all the Holy Spirit. Who would have thought? And it's a good people who are prayerful, who have donated to us, who believe in it, who want that message of truth out before the public. And that's really all we're doing,
yes,
is telling
yes.
the truth, reminding people of the baby and the hotline number of where to go for alternatives, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a privilege to be part of it, really.
So how did it start? I mean,
you know what, Russ? Frustration. Frustration. I had tried politics. I had tried lobbying. I had tried education in the schools. I was used to go in and get my mother or somebody to babysit and run in and speak to five classes at a time and then run home and make dinner. And you kept thinking about how, and then I worked, my heart has always been with the pregnant woman because I'm an adopted kid and I came from one of the orphanages in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Right.
So I always had a heart for that woman that was going through a difficult time during a pregnancy. So I was counseling, but we were seeing more and more women who were having abortions because they didn't know alternatives and help existed.
Yeah.
So we just thought, well, we tried to do some simple bus ads in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but you have to be in those areas to see the buses, and the buses have to be running. And so we just wrote to all of our friends at Christmas time and said, if you give us all your money, we'll put up billboards in Minneapolis. In fact, our first name was Pro-Life Minnesota, because we never expected to be outside of Minnesota.
Sure.
And it was pro-life people from around the country who heard about it and said, why can't you bring your billboards here? And after a number of years, when we realized our billboards are now in Illinois, Wisconsin, Seattle, Washington, and it says Pro-Life Minnesota, we legally changed our name to Pro-Life Across America.
Yeah,
so this is our 31st year.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But it's all the Holy Spirit. It's all God. I wish I could take credit, but I can't. I have a wonderful husband. He's the backbone. He's been with me and working behind the scenes the whole time.
Good. And you have 13 children, right?
That's right.
That shows your pro-lifeness, huh?
I guess so. When I used to attend the precinct caucuses, some of the people who were pro-abortion who got to know me well would tease me and ask me if I was, you think you're going to win, don't you? And I said, we're going to beat you. We know we're going to beat you.
Demographics.
Yeah, and then they said, well, you think you're going to do it single-handedly by having all these kids. So, yeah, we cheated a little bit. We had 7 by tummy and 6 by airport or adoption, all special needs kids. But it was a privilege.
Great. Oh,
wonderful.
Right, yeah. You know, my, I think, passion for the pro-life movement is because my grandmother was adopted. She came here on the orphan train. And so I just think, you know, if her mother, my great-grandmother, would live today in this society, I might not be here.
That's right.
And just like with you, if your mother had lived during today's time. Yeah.
Exactly. It really does. And I didn't think of it when I was a kid growing up as much. You know, we grew up knowing we were adopted and my mother made us feel special and all these kinds of things. I grew up in a very good Italian family. But the older I got, and of course when the abortion issue hit, that's when, and I had my first baby, I realized, oh my gosh, how could this happen?
Right.
And so that's the story still going on.
So was there ever a time that you felt like, I just can't do this and you're ready to give up, or did you always felt like this is what I need to do?
Oh, I can't, as long as I'm breathing. No, I never had any doubts. I did change course many, many times politics to different things. We tried everything, but never did I doubt, get discouraged. I'm really not one to, not about this. I might have been tired, but not about this. And that's where you know that something else is driving you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's got to be. You know, where do you get that energy? You know.
So speaking of energy, 13 children. You've been running this Pro-Life Across America for many years, and you've
31.
written several
five books.
Five books, yeah.
On parenting. And that, Russ, again, was out of frustration. The feminist movement came along. We even tried to join it, and I started Feminists for Life in Minnesota and was the president of Feminists for Life. And then we realized we got thrown out of everything because we didn't agree with their abortion stand. And so we quit that. And but they were writing things that were trying to persuade women to leave their natural instincts, their natural abilities to parent children, to mother children, and throw them in daycare and go get a meaningful career and a job. Now, sometimes you have to do it because you have to make ends meet. Yeah. But for some mothers, that's demeaning. Shame on them. You know, we should have that, you know, that's a privilege to be in the home. Each situation is different, right? Yeah. So I started writing books just on the joy of being a mother. And then also I started writing one on, I had a lot of mothers come to me and say, oh, the first book was funny, but what can I teach my children about Catholic parenting? So then I wrote about the commandments and the saints and the corporal works of mercy. Some mothers and fathers want to raise their kids in the faith, but they don't know some of the things I grew up with about just, you know, really the commandments and the teachings of the church. So it was a lot of fun. I like to do things with humor. So I loved writing the books, and I loved talking to moms and families.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people don't understand if you, in a sense, follow the rules, you actually have more freedom.
Oh, you do. Yeah, because, you know, it's kind of like the fence. You know, the commandments to me are like the fence. The fence is to keep evil out, but it's also to let us know our boundaries, you know? And that's what parents do. We let our kids know the boundaries of what they can do and what they can do. You're grounded if you don't do that, you know? And they're happy with the rules.
Right, I was just going to say.
Yeah, they're much happier. They may not like it, but they're happy knowing, okay, here's the because the fence is a protection. And that's what the commandments are, and that's what the church is. It's a protection for us,
there's
you know, for our souls.
A group called Healing the Culture, and you're probably familiar with Father Spitzer. So he wrote a book on the different levels of happiness. So one's the basic pleasures, and then ego gratification, and then community involvement, and then doing God's will. And if you can understand what God wants you to do, you'll have the most enduring happiness.
Right? True, so true. Yeah, the minute I try to go off on my own for anything, whether it's with the family or at home or in pro-life, it's a joke because you know you're going to fall on your face.
Well, speaking of happiness, how did you get to have a display in New York City?
You know, Russ, every once in a while, an ad agency will call us and say, we have a remnant ad that you'd have to move on very quickly. That means somebody else reserved
abandoned
the spot and
something.
Isn't going to take it up, and they have a corner of space. If they would have called me 6 months or even a year ago, we would not have had the money. I just know it's God's timing. When this gal called and she said, we've seen some of your ads, and would you ever consider this? And it was in the side of a building. It actually wrapped around the building. It was 60 feet by 30 feet. So it wasn't a small thing. If you were coming off of the subways, the first thing you see is this big, huge gray building, 1500 Broadway. So it's right in Times Square.
Yeah.
And there is our, and then we had to get our graphic artist to do something he hadn't done and we'd never done before. Uh-huh. It's not just a billboard. It's a moving ad that's put together. It's 10 segments that put together. So it might say cherish, life, you know, help, need help, call, and then our hotline. So it was really a blessing to be able to do that. We did it during the fall, and then they called and enticed us, could we do it during Christmas, and we managed to do it during Christmas when people go to New York for all of their shopping and whatever needs, including the ball drop when cameras come from all over the world to watch this ball drop.
You had it then.
We had it then, and I skipped 1 month in order that we would have it through January, and that was my personal desire because January is the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that legalized, knocked down all 50 states and legalized abortion. So we had to have that as our response. Oh. They've actually invited us to do it again. They said your ads are so touching. She just called last week and I just told her we just didn't have the funds.
Right, yeah.
But it was a wonderful, wonderful time.
And maybe again sometime, who knows?
We hope so. Yeah. We hope in the summer when people are traveling. And she mentioned she wanted to know if we wanted to do it for March because there's a World Conference of Women being held at the United Nations. So they come from all over the world for this conference.
Yeah.
And normally people are in Times Square for all of the plays and whatever.
Sure, sure.
But we just couldn't do it.
Yeah,
We're praying maybe this summer or maybe again for December.
Right.
But it was a privilege.
Oh, definitely.
And it was the people who pray for us. Someone thinks, is this a big sponsor? You must have a foundation. No, we're talking about people that sacrifice, that give $50, $30, $100. Well, we have some big givers who, out of the generosity of their heart, but really it's people who sacrifice.
Yeah, I know you can't really document every life that you've saved because a lot of people will see that and they'll change their mind and you'll never know.
Right.
But there are some cases that you do know about.
Right. In fact, one is in our recent film, a young college girl, darling girl, just darling. Away from home from the first time, she was a homeschooled girl, very beautiful family, and she made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Saw our number and called for help. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And I asked her if she'd be even open to talking to someone about adoption. And she said, I really am. Well, it turned out she was from a wonderful family. She did we did get her the medical care that she needed. Mm-hmm. And we got her in touch with the agency that I recommended. And she made an adoption plan for her baby. And her mother, God love her mother, from another state now, sent me a thank you letter with a picture of the baby thanking us for being there for her.
Nice,
so, and we had, just
that
the other day.
That makes it all worthwhile,
it
right?
Does, yeah, it does. Yeah. I don't need any thanks and I don't need to count the babies. But once in a while, we just had a young woman who sent us an email and said, I'm putting my 3-year-old in the car to go to church, and I saw your billboard and I realized I have never thanked you for the billboard because I canceled my abortion because of your billboard, and I wouldn't have this little girl and I wouldn't be going to church.
Yes.
So we wouldn't know about her had she not sent the email.
Right.
So
right.
Nice to hear that everyone's.
And for everyone you hear, there could be 10 or 20 that or more.
We pray. We also, Russ, help a lot of people who've been through the abortion experience. You would not believe, including 50% of the callers to our hotline are people who've been through abortion. 40%, Russ, are men. 40% of hotline callers.
Good to guess that.
Yep. 40%, and they might be the father, the boyfriend, the husband, the brother, a school counselor who doesn't want to see a girl end up having an abortion. I had a man call at Christmas time and said, I haven't been in a church in 10 years because I pushed a woman to have 2 abortions. And we got to talk. He said, I know I need to go back to church, but I think I need help. I said, wonderful. We have a men's support group.
Sure.
So we got him in touch with a men's support group that will get him back on the road and get him to church. So
I've interviewed women who've, you know, are post-abortive. And I share with them, I think that, you know, their stories are going to change more lives. I mean, they can do more than I can do, you know.
Right.
You're doing a lot. But I mean, but I think that's going to help make
a
difference.
It really does. I had a woman that wrote me a note yesterday that said, I finally have the courage to write and tell you I had an abortion 35 years ago. Thank you for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. The pain is incredible. I had a woman call. In fact, I just asked her if she'd like to help us. She was so excited. She was raped when she was 13, had 4 abortions. Her mother, unfortunately, helped her with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's now an adult, and I asked her if she likes post-abortion help. She said, no one. She said, I called once at a pro-life group, but they didn't offer help. I said, no, I'm going to send you some things, and I really would like you to work for us. She's down in San Francisco, and the reason why she called is because one of our billboards had been defaced, and she wanted us to know about it. And she said, I'm so grateful it might help someone else so they don't go through what I went through. So people are, the pain is incredible with these people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're people who believe in conversion, you know, and God's mercy and forgiveness. So we want to embrace them, bring them into our camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So I'm glad you're exposing that and bringing that
doing
to light.
Doing what we can, right?
Wonderful, Russ. Wonderful.
So, out of curiosity, are you in most all the states? I know you're on radio.
Yep, we're in 46 states and Canada, and once in a while, because Canada keeps... which is a mess to try and ship to them because you have to go through the customs and everything, but they love our ads. But basically, we're in 46 states. We'd be in all 50, but Hawaii, Alaska, Vermont, and Maine do not allow billboard advertising, so we're not there. But we are on the radio, and we also are on the... We're now doing as we can afford it. Sometimes we have to stop because we don't have the funds.
But
we're now on the web every day. Running ads every day, so when they Google pregnancy, abortion, our name should pop up, you know, or we pray that it does, so
wonderful.
It pops up first, so,
And then are you doing any digital billboards?
Well,
that seems to be the new trend.
Oh, it does, and we get enticed. I was just telling my husband on the way over, I had a man who said, oh, he has a billboard in Anaheim on an interstate that he wants to give me at a very cut rate because he's a good Christian and he would like to have our ad. But you're still talking about lots of money. It's like $2,500, and the problem is you're sharing that ad with
others.
Six or eight other people,
and
once the money's gone, it's gone. So the only time I give in and do digital is if they give us a very good rate.
And then I
can't say no. I love it.
They're
beautiful and they're flashy. But it's very costly.
So through all these 31 years, have you found a certain message that resonates more than others, or you just keep trying different...
It's interesting. We started out by just doing a clear message. We didn't put babies on billboards for about the first 5 years. In fact, the first year, we didn't even have a hotline number. The only reason why we knew this was saving a baby is we got a call from a clinic director in St. Paul who said, Marianne, I know that's you behind this billboard here in St. Paul, and a woman just walked into our clinic and said, I can't go through with my abortion because I have to pass by that billboard on the way to work. But it was a very primitive billboard, black and white, no phone. We did it from my living room, and then we got a little bit more sophisticated. What really changed for us was when we put a baby's face on. In fact, I had a couple of pro-abortion calls. One was from a woman, and she says, you sneaky, underhanded people. She said, now you've really done it. I thought, oh, what did we do? And she said,
showing the
she
truth,
said,
right?
Showing babies' faces on a billboard. And I said, isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah,
there's another little human being involved here that no one's talking about. And it's more than just the mom and the woman. And something touches the man's heart. We had a man call from Seattle, Washington, and he said, we're married. He said, it's not a question. I said, oh, can we help you? Because he said, my wife was scheduled for an abortion. And he said, no. He said, in fact, we both bring in over $250,000 a year. We both work. We have a full-time nanny. We have two kids. But I promised my wife we'd only have two kids. And he said, I just thought I'd tell you. He said, we're both pro-choice. But he said, I had to tell you, your billboard here on Broadway in Seattle changed her mind. I said, what? And he said, it talked about the baby's eye development. And he said, it generated a conversation we would never have had. And that's what we're here to do, is to, we don't want to hit someone over the head. We never use the word abortion. Well, all we do is put a little simple fact, adoption. Or.
And you're not political.
We're not. Not a bit. I wish we were. I'd like to change the laws, but nope. We're totally educational, non-political. We'll leave the politics to other people. We'll just do the education.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Sometimes just a touching little reminder, is enough that will, the heartbeat. We had a trucker who called and he said, I just told my girlfriend to take care of it, get rid of it. But he says, I didn't realize the kid already had a beating heart. I said, yep, that's your baby.
Exactly.
And he said, I guess she can't do it. So that's what happens, once we realize it sinks into us.
You know, when you think about it, if somebody, I say I'm pro-choice because I think every human being should have a choice to live. So it's really, the issue is abortion, right? It's not choice. But so an abortion supporter who says it's sneaky and underhand to show the face of a baby, that's in comparison to tearing the limbs off of a baby.
Which they won't show until.
I mean, when you think about it, especially late-term abortions,
so
the baby can feel the pain already.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. In fact, we just did a series of billboards called What I Could Feel Pain, and we told the number of weeks. And we had a couple of, we have to get past these billboard companies oftentimes. And we had one that just said, we can't take that. We won't take anything like that. It was too harsh. So we have to be very gentle and loving in our approach.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, babies can feel pain, you know. And here in Minnesota, the Planned Parenthood will abort up to 24 weeks.
Right.
And at the President Trump's State of the Union address, he had a 21-week, you know, survivor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that baby definitely, you know, I don't remember the exact date of feeling pain, but it's before 20 weeks.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, that in itself, Russ, is the reason why some abortionists have converted to the pro-life movement. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who I knew personally, he's quoted in one of my books. I did too. He and I were on a couple of speaking circuits.
Yeah.
But he just said, you know, I couldn't at one end abort a baby and tear it limb from limb, or worse, and poison it, and then on the other end try and save this baby that somebody wanted, so-called wanted baby. So, it's an upside down world we're living in.
You know? And what Dr. Nathanson did was he exposed all the lies prior to Roe v. Wade, because he was part
of it. He created the lies.
Yeah.
They created the lies, they created the whole concept of make it a Catholic issue, make it a Christian, attack the Christians and say that, you know, you don't impose your morality on others and whatever,
You know, I interviewed Joe Scheidler last year and we were talking about Nathanson, you know, Dr. Nathanson, and Joe told me that at first I didn't believe that Nathanson was sincere, and then he said he met him, and then, you know, Dr. Nathanson said, I have to be careful because he has depression. He had in his family there. He goes, if he can't really, you know, deal with what had happened. But yet he, you know, he had God's grace and he became a great defender of human life.
Very, very much so. He and I talked. One of the things that he said that I would hope your watchers will know is that he said, don't ever think for one minute that those people that are praying outside of the abortion, he said, we look out the window. He ran his abortion clinic 7 days a week, Christmas, Easter, he didn't care. He was an atheist at the time. And he said, you'd look out and see these silly people praying, some of them with their rosaries, and it could be in the rain. And he said, don't think that didn't have an impact on our business and on us, because it did. And so I always remember him saying that, that, you know, those people who are out there who are doing that, God love them, because that's another witness of how strongly someone will actually give up their time and stand in front of an abortion clinic and pray for that abortionist. You know, Nathanson became Catholic.
Right.
As you know, Cardinal O'Connor baptized him, brought him into the church. So he came full circle. I had lunch with his third wife at the time, and she, that was before all this happened, and she says, my biggest fear is that Bernie's going to turn Catholic. Well, voila. You know, God has a way of getting into our hearts.
Yeah. And speaking of getting into our hearts, you know, if anybody watching this hasn't seen Unplanned, you know, what a great movie. I interviewed Sean like a year or two ago, and, you know, it just shows how somebody can really, like Nathanson, you know, Abby Johnson was on the inside, and it's just that witness made a big difference.
Right, and I think, you know, the key too with Abby is that the pro-lifers that were behind that fence that were talking to her were kind. They weren't shouting. They didn't call.
Yeah.
They didn't name call. You know, we want to be very careful. I mean, some of the calls that we get are not nice calls on our hotline.
Yes.
Some of them are very real threats to us, you know. But we don't want to respond that way.
Right.
We want to respond with love. And that's why
kindness,
our billboards are trying to be loving and kind and inviting, welcoming, you know.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I think that was persuasive. I knew Abby, too. I know Abby. And that was persuasive for her. You know, it was the kindness that was offered by the pro-lifers.
Made a huge difference.
Yes.
So we are almost out of time. Do you have any advice for people who are, you know, considering an abortion?
You know, I would just say the main thing is that we offer free confidential counseling. Don't be pressured. Don't be pushed. It's not the only solution. We just helped someone the other day that was so shocked to know that she was just being threatened and pressured to have an abortion. And just found our number and called. Couldn't thank us enough. She called us back. She says, I'm scheduled for a free ultrasound tomorrow. Just because she found our number and we got her in touch with her.
Right.
So that would be my thing, is to give yourself 24 hours and then know that God loves you and pray, you know. Don't be afraid to pray about this. And then we want to pray too.
Yeah.
We want to pray for our side, and we want to pray for those on the other side.
Mm-hmm. You know? And then if you could share with us your website, your phone number. We'll also list it at the end of the program.
Great. Okay. It's Pro-Life Across America. There's no dashes and no capital letters. So it's prolifeacrossamerica.org. Prolifeacrossamerica.org. And our phone number for the hotline is 1-800-366-7773. That's 1-800-366-7773.
Oh, good. Yeah. So we're starting to hear more people. That's because we're honoring you tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
For Life Legal Defense Foundation.
Okay.
So congratulations and thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Russ. God bless you.
You
it's
too.
An honor to be here. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll be back again next week with the Rooney Report.
I'm an adopted kid. I came from an orphanage when I was 9 months old, and I wouldn't be here if someone hadn't made that plan for me. And so this is just my way of saying thank you and offering that kind of assistance to other mothers in need at that critical time in their life.
I went to school up in Minnesota, and right before I moved, I found out I was pregnant. So I decided to look into my options.
We've been blessed with two children through the gift of adoption, Josephine and also Tino, who is 19 months. I think Pro-Life Across America has such an important work because in a very unassuming and very non-confrontational way, they spread the truth and the beauty of life.
It was called Pro-Life Minnesota back in 1989. We put up 42 billboards. They were black and white. And 2 weeks after the first billboard went up, we got a call from a clinic director, and she said, "Marianne, a woman scheduled for an abortion walked into our office today and said, I can't continue to drive by that billboard on my way to work and go through with this abortion." And she got the help that she needed. So from there, it escalated.
Pro-Life Across America has been broadcasting pro-life messages on billboards, radio ads, and internet ads. Each of our pro-life messages features a fact about the development of the baby before birth, as well as our 800 hotline for help.
Our ads aim to provide a connection to those in need. So if they call our hotline or send us an email requesting help, we can provide them with a connection to a pro-life agency in their local area.
We're able to connect those hotline callers with free confidential counseling, pregnancy help, adoption information, as well as post-abortion assistance.
When we were waiting for our children to be in our family, we would be driving and we would see a billboard, and it just made us smile and be hopeful that someday we may have children in our family as well. And so it definitely impacted us even before we had a family.
Pro-Life Across America is making an impact. They truly have measurable results. We have approximately 50 hotline calls a week, people seeking more information, and the fact that we now have donors literally from all 50 states, people that have heard and seen the message and want to become part of this important work.
We hope to always be this beacon of hope that will spread the truth, that will spread these facts. We're totally dependent on individual donors. We hope to use what we can to reach as many people as possible.
It's really an educational outreach to other people, to their hearts, to their minds, to get them to know about something that they may not have thought about in the turmoil of what's going on in their personal lives. And we know that we can offer them assistance, alternatives to abortion.
We definitely are very blessed that the birth mothers of our children have chosen life. Without that positive choice for life, we wouldn't be able to have children.
You really need to continually educate each new generation about the intrinsic value of a new child, a new baby, and that work will never really end. That we've got to keep that message out in front of people.
Pro-Life Across America was the saving grace in my situation. It started with just a magnet on the refrigerator that sparked that idea of, oh my gosh, there are resources. They led me to this amazing adoption agency, and I'm just grateful that in the end I chose life.
These are God's babies, and we have no right to do anything but offer them love and assistance, and as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to keep on doing this.